Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kate, Kiwi, and BP.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Today, we're going to be playing Expeditions, designed by Jamie Stegmeyer of Scythe, Viticulture, Tapestry, Charterstone, Red Rising, Rolling Realms. The artist is Jacob Rosalski of Scythe and all its expansions. And it was published in 2023 by Stonemeyer Games. Oh, lore. Mm-hmm. The reign of Rasputin and Fenris is over, bringing a time of relative peace to Europa. The heroic deeds of those who have protected Europa fade into legend. Instead, the eyes of the world are on Siberia, where a massive meteorite crashed into the Tunguska River, awakening ancient corruption. An expedition led by Dr. Tarkovsky ventures into the taiga to learn about the meteorite and its impact on the land. When months pass and no report other than rumors of the crew and wildlife being possessed by strange parasites, a rescue mission is sent after Tarkovsky, but they fail to also return. Itching for adventure, heroes from the war privately fund their own expeditions to Siberia, hoping to find artifacts, overcome challenges, and ultimately achieve glory. They borrow mechs designed for exploration and head to base camp to embark upon their journeys. This is where your story begins. And the mechanics are action retrieval, deck bag, pool building, grid movement, hand management, melding and splaying, modular board, multi-use cards, solo solitaire, variable player powers, variable setup, victory points as resource, worker placement, different worker types. And the box art.
Okay. Yes, it's... It looks like it's Siberia. Yeah, it looks cold. There are various people that look like they're on an expedition. Is one also a bear?
Yes.
A bipedal bear with a backpack.
Yeah, right. And I don't even know where to start. Okay, so there's, yeah, like meteorites coming in. Mm-hmm. And there's some machinery in the background. It's the color's interesting. Like the top half is like a gray snowy look, and then bottom half is grassy.
Sure. I think in the description it was like, you're leaving Europa and heading to Siberia. Yeah. So I feel like it's supposed to be the two different parts.
Yep.
Yeah, there's like a mech in the background as well, maybe a farming mech like they kind of had on the front of the Scythe box. And then in the background is like maybe a city. I don't know. It looks like a bunch of like ropes and stuff going off of it. And then you got meteorites. I think Kate mentioned those. But what I think is, and then it says a sequel to Scythe.
Yes. I think it's set in the same world.
Yeah.
Like alternate history. I mean, 1920, I guess, is at the top.
Yeah. But I always find it interesting when like designers do that. Like it's a sequel to this. And so is that supposed to evoke like, hey, it's going to be just like Scythe, or, you know, is it a spiritual sequel or like a true sequel?
Yep. Or a re-implementation.
Yeah.
All right. So based off all this, would you pull it off a shelf? Kiwi.
I think I would. Like I enjoyed Scythe. So I think this sequel to Scythe is fine. And then I've always liked the art, like that mech, like normal life type of, I feel like it's got like a steampunky, but not like true steampunk kind of feel to it. But I enjoy the art, so I think I would.
BP?
Kind of a maybe. I can't remember really liking Scythe, so I'm going to go with no.
Kate?
Yeah, I'm still reading through the mechanics. maybe? I don't know. So, like, the description and the cover seem kind of like something I might be interested in. But I don't know that I'm seeing anything in the mechanics that match up with what I typically like, but there's also a lot there. So who knows? Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Sure. I will
talk through it.
Yeah.
I think I've heard both answers from Kate. At first she was like, yes, but then I think that was just like her going into talking and then it was like, I don't know. And I was like, I don't know which one to put.
Yeah. I was definitely thinking out loud there.
Yeah. I'm a yes. I like the setting of Scythe and I like the artwork. I think diesel punk is the term. Okay. And I didn't love the gameplay of Scythe as much because it's a little bit more kind of wargamey, I guess. So I'm hoping this will be different mechanically that'll be the same cool setting, but maybe just more mechanically interesting to me. So how do we think it's played, Kate? Mm. You've been studying the mechanics.
Mm-hmm. Let's just put crunchy food in my mouth.
Yeah, or BP, whoever would like to start. There's a lot.
Yeah,
there is a lot.
Okay, so we must have cards because there's hand management, melding, and splaying.
Yes, and I assume that is the deck building piece. So we're gonna have cards. Oh, yes. So we're on an expedition.
So we want to take rope with us. You always want rope on it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't be crazy.
Right. Maybe our cards are equipment.
Yeah. Okay, equipment. Maybe people on our expedition. You got a team, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
What's our goal here on this expedition?
The meteorites.
Meteorites are not... Well, I guess a meteorite could be a goal.
No, I was just reviewing.
Okay, our goal is to go and find the meteor. Right.
Yes.
It says find artifacts.
Yes, which is on the ground because it fell from the space sky. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do that with our cards, which are equipment and people. Mm-hmm. Who are our workers?
So worker placement?
Oh, yeah, there's two worker placements.
Well, one's a bear.
Yes. So what is the bear's role in this game?
Scare off
the mechs, because naturally mechs are afraid of bears.
Naturally.
Yes. Yeah.
I think we're good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where did the parasites come in?
That's going to be the problem we run into when we get to the meteorite, is that then the parasites are going to attack us. And we're going to have to run away, and it's going to become like a action chase scene, mm-hmm. where we have to escape before the meteorite eats us.
Right. And we're going to wish we had a bicycle.
Yes.
Because if there's one thing... I've never heard
Kate more on board with an idea.
If there's one thing I've learned from our podcast, is you want to ride a bicycle and escape.
Yeah,
I do enjoy riding my bicycle. I could ride my bike to escape a meteorite.
Yeah.
Parasitic meteorite? Is that where we're at?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting game. Let's do it.
All right. The history of riding your bike away from meteor parasites.
So one of the most famous expeditions to have gone on historically was James Cook's first voyage that circumnavigated the globe in his ship, the Endeavour. This allowed the botanists Joseph Banks and Daniel Solander the opportunity to collect plants from previously unexplored habitats. Basically, the ship went around the article I have lists how many specific species they gained, but they gained hundreds of species, stopping off in places like Rio de Janeiro, where they were almost caught, but they did smuggle aboard some specimens. They also stopped off at Tierra del Fuego. My brain wanted to mix those words together. And also collected a large number, but the largest that they were able to collect were in the Polynesian Islands and in Australia and New Zealand. They got so much off of one bay in Australia that Cook decided to name the place Botany Bay in honor of their extensive discoveries. Avoiding shipwreck, avoiding pretty much any kind of disease, scurvy or kind of any other strife amongst the crew, they made it back they left in 68 and made it back in 71. So not too bad for standards of the time.
All right. Well, do you all want to know how to play?
I think we already know, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are fairly close.
Little clarification on the meteor parasite mechanics. But.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fair. Okay, so we are leaders of some of the factions from Scythe, leading expeditions to find Dr. Tarkovsky, who set out to learn about a meteorite, which has basically awoken a great evil and spread corruption around it. We achieve glory by obtaining achievements, and we do this by exploring, vanquishing corruption, completing quests, and other things. It's a Stonemaier game, so the first player is randomly chosen. But I think it should be the person who most recently went on an expedition and can convince the other people that what they went on was in fact an expedition. So I looked up the definition of an expedition: a journey or voyage undertaken by a group of people with a particular purpose, especially that of exploration, scientific research, or war. So 2015 would have been the last time that I went on an expedition to war, but didn't do any warring. But I could have.
But we did some exploring. I bet it's going to be Kate and Eric, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to say, I'm sure we've explored, but I feel like we haven't in a while.
Yeah. I mean, we went to the Arboretum. We explored species. Yeah,
but we'd already been there. It felt like maybe the first time we went.
Yeah, it's true.
We haven't gone anywhere new in a bit. Mm-hmm.
You went to Vietnam recently.
That's true. And you were in a group and you were exploring.
Yeah.
So one of you guys can go first. All right. So, and then you guys can just fight to the death to figure out which one it is. So on your turn, you're going to either perform actions or refresh. So on your player boards, you're going to have three actions: move, play, and gather. If your cube is on the blank spot on your player board, you're going to perform all three. On your following turns, you're going to move the cube to cover one of the three actions, and you'll perform the two exposed actions. And so on your turn, you're just going to keep doing that. You're going to move your cube from one of the actions to another one, or you can decide to refresh. So with move, it's going to let you move your mech 1 to 3 spaces around the map. You can move through spaces with other mechs, but you have to stop on a location that is unoccupied and not in the location that you started on. If you move to a location that's face down, you explore it, but you also have to stop, even if you would be able to move further. Play allows you to choose one of the cards in your hand, which are to the left or of your player board. So your hand is always visible to everybody. And you're going to add it to your active row, which is to the right of your player board. You gain the card's core value, which is going to be power or guile. And it may also have an ability you activate with a worker. So you have to have that worker in order to activate the power. You can gather. Gather allows you to gain the exposed benefits on your mech's location, and this will allow you to gain workers, clear your workers, gain cards, and other benefits. Some locations will have additional benefits that don't become available until the location's corruption is cleared with the vanquishing action. And in general, you can always perform the actions in any order that you want. So if your two actions are move and gather, you could gather from the location that you're on and then move. So, but you have to complete one action before you can do the other one. You can't like move and then gather and then finish your move. When you want to change, want to refresh your active row and go back to being able to do all three actions on one of your turns, you're going to change. You're going to take the refresh turn. So you're going to perform no actions and you're just going to move your cube to the refresh location. All your workers are going to return to your mech mat along with all your active cards returning to your hand. And on your next turn, you'll move your cube into the blank space and perform all actions just like the first turn of the game. When a player has placed their fourth glory token on the base camp, which you have to take a boast action, and you also have to meet certain achievements. So those achievements might be like have 4 quests complete or have 4 items upgraded, something along those lines. The game end is triggered, and each player will then get a final turn, including the player who triggered the end. So the game will end officially with the player who triggered the end taking their final turn. Players will earn victory points based on the coins they have collected. Each of the glory tokens they've placed in the base camp will be worth points based on the number of quests they've solved. Upgraded items grant in-game points. And finally, each corruption token, regardless of value, is worth in-game points. The player with the most points is the winner. If there's a tie, the player with the most glory categories is the winner. And if it's still tied, they share the victory. And those are pretty much the rules.
Well, let's explore.
We just finished a game of expeditions. To recap, BP had 32 quest points. Kiwi had 71 item points. Kate had 72 vanquish points. And I had 80 melding points, my winning strategy was melding. I got a lot of points for my melds, my meteor gathering. And then otherwise, you kind of have to do a little bit of everything, I guess. I didn't do any quests. I thought that was going to make me lose, but...
I mean, I felt like the questing is what kept Kate and I close, because we were able... We made a lot more money off of our...
I made only my money off of my quests.
Yeah. I was trying to do a little bit of, like, I had quests, I had melding, I had items. I had an item that was like, or a meld that was like, hey, for every quest you control... So I was like trying to gather up quests. Mm-hmm. And I think that delayed me because I spent too much time like trying to get those quests so I could make sure that I maximized the amount of money because I didn't want to like meld it and then get nothing from it.
Yeah.
That felt like a waste.
I had the same thing with melding. But I couldn't really do much else until I melded and didn't like upgrade my items and things that I needed for the max meld coins. Okay.
So.
No strategy.
Theme, did you feel like you were on an expedition in Siberia?
No.
what's the question mark for?
I think there was a little bit of theme there somewhere. Maybe the no is strongest because I like still figuring out what was going on. So I wasn't quite thinking about the theme and how it comes into play. I don't know. I guess there's a little bit there, but
yeah, there's lore, but I wouldn't say I really feel it comes out in the game. Mm-hmm. I think Lost Ruins of Arnak felt a bit more of an expedition. Mm-hmm. I'd have to play that again, but it's been a while, but it felt more of like, oh, I'm gonna push a little further and see what I, you know, find.
Yeah, because in that one you had to pay like boats and planes and stuff to actually like move around.
This was just sort of running forward and backwards and around the map, and it didn't really feel like I don't even think I went. I barely went to like the north.
Yeah.
I'm super chilly right now. It's kind of cold, and I could use a jacket. So thematically, I felt like I was in Siberia, but that was self-imposed. But other than that, I don't think the theme was really there.
Table presence.
I mean, I think the art on the card is nice. Some of them were pretty unique as well and had, you know, like clever little quests, especially. Yeah,
I agree. I think it does a good job showing off the art. I think some games like, you know, they put art on tiles and then you can't see it because there's so much other stuff. I think this kind of kept the stuff to the side pretty well. And I like the art style. So yeah, I think this would jump out at me. Plus you got like, you know, mini mechs walking around the map and stuff like that. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then in the actual game, these mechs are all, I mean, they're a gray plastic color and they have little things that you snap onto the bottom for player color. But I could see like, if you had them like really well painted, they would actually look really cool as well. So.
Yeah, no, I agree. I like the art. And there's a lot going on, but not too much. So I think it would be enough to, that would just catch your eye in a good way.
Yep. Mechanics, Kiwi?
I can't think of the game that we've played before, but I know we've played something similar to like the idea of like, I have to choose which actions that I take and I move my token around and I might not necessarily be able to say, take the same action twice in a row. Yep. So I like that idea where I have to figure out like, okay, I'm going to move and gather this turn. So I need to, or I need to move and gather in two turns. So this turn I'm going to move and play. I felt like that made for some interesting like action selection. And again, this is another one of those like worker placement games where I was like, it's not really a worker placement game. Like this probably needs some sort of like that, this mechanic where you're using a resource in order to pay, like needs to be something else. Like
yes,
it's,
yeah.
Not worker placement as I imagined.
I don't think it was claiming to be worker placement like we'd imagine. I think it just got tagged with that mechanic compared to some of the others we played where it seemed like that was the central point of the game. This was sort of just an additional side mechanic. But yeah, they need a different term for like reusable resource or something. I don't know. Kate, anything?
No, I agree.
I mean, there's a lot of mechanics. I think the various use of cards is cool with the, you know, melding and splaying differently to upgrade and get different stuff out of each card. It's kind of neat. Otherwise, you're kind of moving around a map and doing resources and stuff. BP, favorite mechanic?
There were a lot of mechanics. Mm-hmm. I don't think that I had a favorite.
Okay. rules, how was it learning the game?
Not super easy, but not too bad either. Especially because it's a very long game, so you have plenty of time to figure yep. it out. Yeah, but again, it's not easy. Like, there's a lot there to learn. And then I'd say some of the icons were not great.
I'm going to complain about the iconography, especially the quick guide that had about half of the icons.
Yeah.
So it wasn't useful at all.
Not only that, but the descriptions in the guide and the rule book were like absolute garbage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty surprised like they tried to from a Stonemaier game for that part.
Yeah. It was like they tried to save time. Like they tried to save space. Like they were paying by the word to get it published because there was so much room to put like the whole, like to put everything that I just don't understand why. Like the one is just any face up card.
Yeah.
Any face up card. What?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What do you do with it? And that caused some confusion while we were playing. So.
Yeah. I definitely felt that. So BP, anything?
No, I was going to say the same thing, that the learning curve is pretty steep and the iconography is not intuitive.
I think the actions were straightforward. They just had to explain what the things were.
Mm-hmm. Like, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else on the rule book, or is that the pay-by-word complaint?
Yeah, the pay-by-word complaint was the biggest thing yeah. I had. I think, like, I did Google one thing that I couldn't find. Like, I couldn't find what, because I had a card that was like, discard cards in order to gain their core value. But I couldn't find, like, in the rule book, like, what discard meant. Mm-hmm. And I actually had to, I found a link for BGG to a forum that then was like, oh, it's on page 7. And then when I reread that section, I was like, oh. So when you discard cards, you just put them in your active zone, but you didn't gain any of the benefits.
Oh, that's weird.
You would need a card, like an item that would like give you stuff when you discard things, or the card that I had, which was, it was Vanquish and then discard cards up to 3 to gain their core value. So you could gain, power or guile prior to doing a Vanquish action.
Some of the wording is weird. Like discard to put it into your active is not how you would think of discard, or rescuing the card out of your active back to your hand. Like, what are we rescuing it from?
Yeah. Or like the sweep pile, like just call it a discard. Right. Like why does it need to be a sweep pile? So like, it's a weird thing. Like don't rename
things that you've already used. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Or that are like common, like just call it a discard pile.
And then use a different word for playing a tier active.
Yeah. Yep. Even the hand, like watching Rodney Smith, the Watch It Played video, he very specifically like took a second to be like, hey, it says hand, but you are never holding anything in your hand for this whole game. Yep. So like, it caused confusion, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Player interaction. I think this kind of goes with my general Stonemaier complaint of the ones we've played recently, which is like, it's low interaction, which is fine. But it's too long between player turns.
Sometimes.
Unless people refresh. Sometimes.
They're too various, too. Inconsistently long. It either needs more interaction or reduced time around the table.
No, I agree.
Yeah, I think we blocked each other a few times, but it was generally not intentional unless anybody did it on purpose. But
yeah.
No.
There's too much things you're thinking about to bother with that.
Right.
I mean, the one time I remember doing it and BP was like, I wanted to go there. My two options were exactly what I did, which was basically like a play and gather or refresh. So I wasn't going to move either way.
I mean, I did get blocked a few times and I had to replan my turn and it did affect things. So it's like, I'm fine with that level of interaction, but, it's not intentional. Sort of like a surprise round. Would you play it again, Kate?
No. Go to somebody else first, please.
Kiwi.
I'm really, I don't know. Like, I think if the game was half as long, I would have said yes. And I don't know if that long playtime was just, you know, the initial part of learning everything. I felt like once we got going, like everything was like a pretty, like, I think people generally understood more what the icons were trying to tell us. I don't think I would want to play it online again. If it was going to play it, it'd be in person, but I just, it was so long. I think that's my problem with Scythe as well. Like, I liked the mechanics. I liked the way it all worked together. I don't like the length of it. I want it to be half as long. So I'm going to go with no, I think.
I'm going to say barely yes. Add a two-player count and see if that solves some of it. I like the mechanics. I liked it better than Scythe. I do wish it lived up to its theme a lot more, because the theme is what's really attracts me to this. So I wish it was more of maybe like a Lost Ruins, where you felt like you're doing exploring in the tundra or something. But I did like it mechanically. I thought it was fine. I liked the artwork. So I'd probably try it one more time with a lower player count and see if that solves the time. And it's really like, for me, it's not the time of the length of the game, even though it is long. I'm fine with a long game, as long as you feel like you're doing stuff the whole time and not spending, you know, 2/3 of the time just waiting for your turn to come around. So,
yeah.
So maybe two players will solve it. Maybe not. I don't know. BP?
No, there is nothing about this game that interests me.
Okay. And she was the only one who said she wouldn't pick it up either. Yeah. So she was very much. We just wasted 3 hours of BP's life. But she'll never get back.
We were supposed to do it when she wasn't here. So
That is true. That is true.
I did call this one like weeks ago.
That's fair.
Kate?
Okay. I am also really on the fence for similar reasons. I think I like what was there, but it was slow. I don't know that the player count will help it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the buildup was, it took too long to get to the point where you were really accomplishing stuff.
Very slow engine building, yeah.
Like, so, and I don't know if like with two players, you still have to do all that moving and exploring those ones up top, or maybe you don't, I don't know. I might try it again one more time though, because I liked it.
I like the puzzle, so yeah. Maybe we're just optimistic, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in person, like, I think the lack of interaction wouldn't bother me as much, because you'd be in person and snacking, as we've said before. Snacking and yeah. Talking and stuff. So,
yeah.
All right. So that was Expeditions.
So if you have any recommendations of games you would like to hear our impressions on, please send them our way. You can do it via email at firstturntabletop@gmail.com or the formerly known as Twitter and Instagram at firstturncast. And the podcasting camel says, as he is getting ready to set out on an expedition with his pack, please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcatchers. We look forward to hearing from you. Play more games.
I don't know what I get for this. I get a squiggly yellow.
The goal for most of my games is just make sure that Kate doesn't cheat too bad.